That song, Born to Die on Calvary,
turn your Bibles this morning to 1 Timothy chapter 6.
Encapsulates 1 Timothy chapter 6. Effectively the gospel.
That was a wonderful, wonderful weekend this past weekend.
Christmas.
This past Friday was what, folks?
Jesus came at Christmas time.
Wow,
why did he come?
Man,
he
I don't even preach this message.
So
I can just sit down. Someone said Thanksgiving on Friday.
Like
Black
me,
Friday, right? Black Friday.
Cross,
that's the time for you out there that are spiritual, amen.
Where
people go out and go and get things that
die.
They want, right? For cheaper
he
prices.
Came to this earth.
How many of you can be honest and say, hey, I went out
to be
Black
the
Friday
Lamb
shopping? How many of you went to Black Friday shopping?
Takes away
got some folks, some wheelers and dealers out there, right? You got some things you wanted?
How many of
you are the type of black shopper that goes out and you go out and you can get the one thing that you want, and then you're done. How many of you are like that? You go out there, that's the thing, you got it, you're done. How many of you, you just like to browse? You like to look at everything and see the deals? How many out there like to see the deals? Yeah, we got some dealers out there, wheelers and dealers. And now some of you, how many of you just are one of the crazies out there that love to see just all the mayhem and all the craziness out there of people? Yeah, okay, we got some over there.
The first coming of Jesus at Christmas.
You know,
Now, here in the book of Revelation, chapter 20, where I would like you to turn tonight,
obviously
close
on Thursday,
end of your Bible,
and Walmart
we're going to be resuming
Black Friday
our study
on Thursday,
of
okay, so
events
Thursday,
that are yet in the future.
And so they have it, and I was there. My
tonight
family
you
and I were
to
there.
Put
we were there
your
not
glasses,
because
you
know, we're looking for all these amazing deals.
Gaze into the
because
word
my
of God,
daughter's birthday, Macy's, on the 27th.
And
every year, my parents give her $20 in a card.
We're going to be talking about
a present for her. They ask to do that. Go to Walmart. And she can pick out her present. Just so happens that child gets
that
to get her presents on Black Thursday there, right? So she gets
they're
to get these big presents for cheaper prices.
As far as the
and so we were there, and my wife had never been there on
a
Thursday at Walmart. I told her about it. She didn't believe me. And then she believed me afterwards. It was crazy. People wanting things that they didn't need. People grabbing TVs. I mean, it was crazy. And here in Ottawa.
But
we were there. We were some of those people. So we were looking at toys for Macy and we were going down the aisle.
So tonight,
and
we saw jumbo
okay, stuffed animals.
The things that we're talking about
was,
tonight,
this is not
in
just
the scripture, are not
jumbo,
maybes.
Jumbo
okay,
this is like three times the size of our daughter.
These are guaranteed.
Okay, I don't think that's an exaggeration.
And honestly, this study tonight is going
to
be very sobering as we get into this particular part of Revelation chapter number 20. If you recall, this is the third part of a three-part mini-series from Revelation 19 and Revelation 20. And the theme of this whole series is in chapter 19 and verse number 10. So would you look at chapter 19 and verse 10 for just a moment and notice what the angel said to John here at the end of verse 10. He said, the test testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.
And,
God there reveals something to us that the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, His activity
America,
is to point people to Jesus Christ, to testify of Jesus Christ. But not only that, that statement there is like the introductory statement, it's like the theme statement of the next two chapters, everything in the rest of chapter 19 and all of chapter 20, where we are focused on the person of Jesus Christ, beginning with His glorious second coming from heaven in power. Power
really
at the Battle of Armageddon to fight on the side of his people and to destroy his enemies. And so Christmas is the first coming of Jesus. But
okay,
what we're talking about here are the events that begin to take place after his second coming to the earth. He's going to come in the clouds.
And we
talked about that a couple of weeks ago, that in chapter 19, we see the Lord Jesus revealed from heaven, the revelation of Jesus, that he comes in power, the majesty of Jesus as he rides out of heaven through that portal that's ripped in the space-time continuum and directly descends to the earth from the third heaven where the throne of God is located. And he comes riding on a white horse and he is crowned with many crowns. We see him riding majestically to the earth, coming in glory and power. We also learn about his companions, that the armies of the saints in heaven are going
to
follow Jesus into battle at this moment. And then the triumph of Jesus is that he will destroy his enemies with the power of his word. And so chapter 19 is a chapter about the beauty and the glory and the power and the victory and the faithfulness and the righteousness of Jesus.
He tells us in all different battles. You're going to have
and
battle
then chapter
with morals,
20,
okay? They're going to be people that will try
the
to
the Holy Spirit of God testifies
to
some different truths about Jesus.
There's going to be problems in the church.
And
church
specifically, we see in the last part of chapter number 20
the
that the Lord Jesus Christ is
as a, young
a consuming fire.
So he gives them those words, but then
of holiness,
he gives
and justice,
these final words here.
And
in fact,
judgment,
he finishes the book and
perfect
he talks
justice.
About something we all
there
love
are four
to talk
points.
About, right?
About
money.
The fire of the Lord Jesus
he likes
Christ
to talk about,
that
he
we
wants
are
to finish the book
examining
money,
here in the last part of chapter number 20.
In fact, probably
first of
the most
all, that he is a devouring fire. Secondly,
in the Bible,
that his fire is an everlasting fire.
In fact,
third,
probably
it is
the
a
verse
melting
most
fire.
Lost
and finally,
people
it is a punishing fire.
No, they don't know
fire.
Why they know it, don't know how they know it.
As I said a moment ago, this is a sobering
says,
part
of
our study. But folks, we need to really understand
the
who the Lord Jesus Christ
evil.
Is. And so
and
just to review,
Timothy,
I want to go back to verse number 6 of chapter number 20. And I want to begin reading to you here in verses 6 through 9. Where we just to review, this is where we see of the devouring fire of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison
and
shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth, encompassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city. And a fire came down from God out of heaven.
If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome
them.
Words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ.
So what we just read there,
and
folks,
the doctrine,
and again,
which
this is
according to what?
This is hard for us to wrap our brains around.
One more
this
time,
is
according
that
to what?
Going to happen at the end
godliness.
Of the millennial,
he is
millennial
proud,
kingdom.
Knowing nothing.
At the end of the 1,000-year reign
of
Jesus
envy,
Christ upon the earth.
Strife, railings,
when he returns in power and glory at Armageddon, he is going to establish a righteous rule upon the earth.
And destitute of the truth.
Establish world peace upon the earth.
It's
going to be a wonderful time on the earth. A time of peace.
But
a time
godliness
of,
contentment
of near paradise
is
conditions,
great gain.
A time
we've
of length
nothing
and longevity.
World,
we talked about all that last
carry
time.
Nothing
but
out.
At the end of that 1,000 years,
having food and
the
remnant,
devil is going to deceive the
nations,
and he is going to lead a
but
worldwide
that
rebellion
rich,
against
fall
the Lord Jesus Christ.
And a snare, and many foolish.
And as they march, the armies of Gog and Magog at the devil, with the devil leading the way, as they march toward the beloved city, the Jerusalem, where the Lord Jesus Christ sits in glory and rules upon the earth.
With many
God
sorrows.
Is going to rain down fire.
Look back
out of
at verse number 6. That as a church, I want to say this together. This verse
and,
together.
We
verse
talked
six,
about how that
but
reminds
godliness
us of the judgment
with
of
contentment
God Sodom and
is
Gomorrah.
Great
how he rained
gain.
Down fire
Let's say one more time
heaven.
Together.
But that's
godliness
a sobering
with
object
contentment
lesson. Both of these events are sobering object lessons of God's
that?
Wrath against sin.
Do you believe
sin?
That godliness?
They're a reminder of the fact that God will judge unrepentant sinners in much the same way in a place called the lake of fire. We're going to get to that part of the chapter in just a moment.
With discontentment. Battling
the fire of the Lord Jesus
Father,
is a
I do pray
devouring
help each
fire.
One of us today, Lord, to be
he
honest
so
with you,
holy,
be honest with the Holy Spirit, Lord, as
and
we
so
are
pure
hearing the Word of God today.
That
Lord, I pray
all
that you
must either
be
purified to endure
with
His
you.
Presence, or must
Lord, I pray that you might help us be a people that love the Word of God, that live the
so
Word.
So why
of God.
Does the Lord Jesus
Lord, help us to be a people that are not just
He enjoys that
Christians
because that's what
that
He
go,
delights to do
through the motions of the flow, but help us to have. Personal revival in our life that we might see you do some mighty, extraordinary things in us. Lord, help us not to be taken.
Secondly, we talked about
world,
the everlasting fire of Jesus. Let's read verse number 10.
Else.
Let's read about it there. It says, and the devil that deceived them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. In this verse, we learn the ultimate fate of the devil and as well as it's the same as the fate of the Antichrist and the false prophet. We read about that in chapter 19.
Here,
his ultimate fate will be to be tormented in the lake of fire
you.
Forever.
Lord, I pray you help each one of us here today. Not
Jesus
to
explained that the lake of fire was created for
Jesus.
The devil and his angels. That was the
Amen.
Original intention of God in making
you know, some
this
Christians
place.
Spend so much time dreaming.
But sadly, will also be the eternal destination of unredeamed, unrepentant human beings who die in their
have.
Sin and rebellion against
yeah,
God.
I want to say it again. So we get that. So many Christians.
We talked about this in the last message, but there's no such thing as purgatory. The idea that punishment is temporary and then you can get out and somehow escape and go to heaven, that's not in the Bible.
Hey, if you sign up for this, we'll give you money.
The Bible does not teach annihilationism. It does not teach that those who are sent to the flames of hell will be quickly burned up and cease to exist, and so their suffering will be temporary. The Bible does not teach that. In fact, it goes out of its way to make it clear that the suffering there is an eternal suffering.
Your long-lost relative in London. Okay, I didn't know I had any relatives in London.
The Bible does not, moment, to begin to countenance the idea that hell is a state of mind or hell is some kind of a bad experience that you have here on earth. Those are lies of the devil. Those are deceptions that people have believed in their own minds.
Give me your credit card information.
We can all go through bad experiences here on earth. Let me tell you, no bad experience you can have here on earth comes anywhere close.
Great, $20 million, right?
To the reality.
Yeah, I know, it was a sham. Okay, it was a fake. Okay,
hell is a real place.
Okay, I understood it.
It's a place of everlasting suffering and everlasting fire.
Are there people that actually fall
the fire of the Lord
things?
Jesus in that place is there an everlasting fire.
There are people that actually will give their credit cards, give their information. Why? Because they want to do the what's called the get-rich scheme. Okay, they just want to get rich quickly. They want to make money
tonight,
fast.
And this is where we left off last time. We want to go down to verse 11, and let's read about the melting fire of Jesus. Let's go to verse number 11, shall we?
Most people lose thousands of dollars.
So after the millennial kingdom comes to an end, after the enemies of God are destroyed there in that final battle, God is going to bring the timeline of human history and this present creation and this earth to an end.
You know, Paul's talking to Timothy.
And really verse 11 is it, okay? It's the end of this present creation. Verse 11 says, I saw a great white throne.
He's someone who's been
and him that
up.
Sat on it,
and
from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away,
actually,
and there was found no place for them.
Just as much at times
so that verse there tells us about the destruction of the present universe, the heaven and the earth. We're studying the creation of the present universe in Genesis on Sunday mornings. You know, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Well, here in verse 11, God is going to undo what he did.
Okay,
he is going to unmake what he made.
Verse number 5.
He is going to destroy what he built.
It says, perverse disputings
the Bible says the present universe will flee away before the face of him.
Supposing that gain is what? Again.
The great white throne.
Godliness.
Who is it?
Okay.
That
from
sits
such
upon
withdraw thyself. So these
the
people here,
throne.
Timothy is saying, we've got a problem here.
Well, the answer
there are people not outside of the church, people coming into the church,
the Lord Jesus
that
Christ
that are telling a bold
is the judge
lie.
Who
they
will sit upon the throne of judgment
to what the word of God
and judge
says.
People
they're saying
at this place
you
called
gained,
the great white throne.
That equals
the Lord Jesus
being
said
godly.
In the book of John, chapter 5, the Father judgeth
money,
no man,
okay,
but hath
nice
committed
house,
all
nice
judgment
car,
unto the Son.
You're godly,
God the
right?
Father has delegated
no.
His Son, God the
say,
Son, the Lord Jesus
person.
Christ. Now, to
you know,
sit
James
as judge of all the earth.
About this, right?
The Lord Jesus went on to say in that same
people,
chapter, verse 24, verily, verily, I say unto you,
better.
He that heareth my word and believeth
clothes,
on him that
nice
sent
jewelry,
me hath
say, hey,
everlasting
front,
life and shall not come into condemnation,
front,
but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he
money,
given to the Son to have life in himself,
things, just,
and hath given him authority to execute judgment
okay?
Also
now,
because, look at this
America,
next statement, very key, because he is the Son of Man.
We know him, okay?
All right, so God has delegated all judgment over the human race to the one whose name is the Son of Man. That is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Your best life.
It is entirely appropriate. It is entirely fitting for the Lord Jesus Christ to judge human beings because he became a human being.
It's dangerous.
He is the Son of Man. And so God has delegated all judgment to him. He is the judge of the human race. And so we can be 100% sure that the one who sits upon the great white throne is, in fact, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see in this passage that he is so glorious and he is so powerful that the entire physical universe cannot stand before him. You know, astronomers don't even begin to know how far out the present universe goes. I mean, as far out as they can see, they see galaxies and they see, you know, quasars and they see stars, and it just goes on and on and on. And anytime they get a more powerful telescope, guess what? They can see further and they can see more, but they haven't seen the outer boundary.
Have that ability to do that.
And all of that, the whole universe,
maybe some of you have seen the Facebook post that went around,
cannot stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, it's hard to wrap our brains around the truth here in this verse. You just picture for a moment in your mind's eye an immense, okay? The Greek word there for great white throne is the word mega. That's the word for great, okay? So this is a mega throne.
I have a wife.
This is a huge throne. And the immense figure there of the glorious Son of God. And he is seated in glory and power upon that throne. And when he unveils the glory of his face,
everything we have,
the entire present creation, all the creation, planet Earth, the sun, all the stars, all the billions and the billions of the galaxies out there, everything is going to speed away
and having riches doesn't make you
and disappear.
But understanding that what you have is God's makes you a rich person. Looking at this passage of scripture here,
it says
I want
no place.
To see the direct contradiction of these people.
Not a place, literally, is what it says.
Look how he describes them in verse number 5.
That means
verse
gone.
Number 4. He says, okay. Anybody who teaches different
that's
than the Lord
talking about
Jesus
total
Christ,
destruction. You know, some
they're
people
proud,
some people believe based
nothing,
upon some other verses of the scripture
about
that the new heaven and earth is going to be a remodel of the present
envy,
one.
Strife,
not so.
Rulings,
this verse makes it very clear.
Evil surmisings.
The new heaven and earth is going to be entirely new.
Of corrupt minds. Why? Because they are
destitute. And we won't get into that in detail tonight, but I think the new earth is going to be a lot bigger than the present earth and all of that.
They're not speaking the truth. But, they don't understand.
But here's how we can be sure it's not a remake, because there's not a place found for them. They are utterly gone.
Having gain does not make you godly. But let me tell you what's going to help you.
The old is going to be obliterated.
That's what we have the context, the background.
You know, the Apostle Peter talks about this in his epistle, 2 Peter chapter 3.
Now that,
I'd like us to, I put the verses up here on the screen. I'd like you to
godliness
look at this with me. Just look up the verses there. It says, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat.
Batman and Robin.
The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up.
They go together.
Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. I highlighted a few words there in that passage. First of all, the word dissolve. You see that? It's in there two times.
We're talking about biblical contentment.
That word dissolve literally means to be loosened.
God wants you to be
okay, that is the meaning of that word.
He said you have to put these two.
And so if we put this passage together with that passage in the book of Colossians, it talks about how the Lord Jesus Christ holds all of creation together. It says, by him all things consist. All things are held together. That's what the Lord Jesus is doing right now with the present creation. That's why we're still sitting here tonight in church. That's why our bodies are still, you know, holding together, and the pew that you're sitting in tonight is still existing, and we still have an atmosphere, and we're still standing on solid ground. It's because the Lord Jesus Christ is sustaining, he is upholding his present creation.
He wasn't a content man. He was not content.
But if you put that passage
at
together, the Colossians passage together with this passage, what it seems to be saying there is that at this moment, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to remove his sustaining hand from the present creation, which is going to cause the atomic building blocks of matter to fly apart. They're going to be loosened.
Self,
in fact, another translation for this word could
godliness
be broken
for contentment up. Is trusting
the elements will be broken
you
up.
Have
all right. So the Lord Jesus is going to remove his sustaining hand, and literally the building blocks of matter, the elemental components
right
of the creation are going to be
right
loose.
Now.
They're going to fly apart.
You don't
That's
need that new
total
car right now.
Meltdown.
You want it? But you don't.
As a matter of fact,
parents,
that word melt there,
so good at teaching our kids these
which
things.
Is another word that's used twice in the passage. It's going to melt with fervent heat.
But if we're honest, sometimes
that?
We struggle with it ourselves.
That word literally means
like
to liquefy.
Like
so
really, really
it's all going to melt down into like molten lava. Okay.
We have to have the mindset
that everything that you could see around you, everything that you presently own, everything that you have, everything that you might desire.
These are some definitions.
It's all going to burn up.
Contentment is
it's
going to
melt down. It's
going to
go up in smoke. It's going to vaporize.
Contentment is not the fulfillment of what you want.
In a universal,
but the realization of how much you already have. It's what you already have. It's an
and there's a point of application for believers in that passage too, isn't there?
Thank you, Lord.
What does it say? It says, seeing
that
these things are going to be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be? He's talking there to Christians. What kind of people should you be based upon this truth in all holy conversation and godliness? What kind of lifestyle should we be living as believers, considering the fact that one day all of the present creation is going to melt down?
We can't do that.
The melting fire of the Lord Jesus is going to have its way with the present creation.
Produce great gain. Now, what is that great
we should be
gain?
Living
what is that great gain
lives.
That he says, Timothy, if you
godly
do this, okay,
that's what he
this
says
is going to
here.
Be great gain in your life. Can I tell you what I believe?
We should be
it
living for
morning.
God, not for the
I
things
I believe that great gain
of this
that he's
world.
Talking about is a life
okay, that, means
that is
that we
totally,
should be serious,
fully
sober-minded believers living the light of eternity.
To the Lord Jesus
not,
Christ.
Not wasting our lives
there's no
and our
holding
time
back. There's no strings of the world holding
that
on.
Cannot
okay, there's no
last.
Materialistic mindset.
So if we went on
there's
the
no
passage,
mindset that if
we
I
read
do
some
this,
more
God
about what God
here.
Says
just,
to
hey,
us as believers. He
Lord
says,
Jesus
nevertheless,
Christ.
We, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent. Okay, pay attention. Make sure you're doing this. Be diligent
what
that ye may be found of him in
okay,
peace, without spot,
wife,
and blameless,
of
and account.
We all, as believers, should
that the
want
that suffering
I'm totally
of our Lord
sold out
is
for
salvation.
God. You know, here's what he says here. He says,
and,
here's the truth.
We
is
could
he,
keep on going with the passage. That's where
be
I stopped. But folks, if we're looking for that
Lord,
new
no,
heaven and earth,
is,
okay, if our sights are set upon a new creation that God is going to bring in after this present one disappears into nothingness, if we've got
a
mindset on eternal things,
if you're not content,
then first of all, we should be living right with God.
You say, I'm not living any other sin. I'm doing everything else I can, but
we should be living a holy lifestyle, unspotted from the world. That's what he says, without spot. Don't spot
you
up, don't
God
stain
do
up, don't dirty
your
up your life with sin, and be blameless, he says.
The situation
don't allow yourself to be in a
say,
position
hey, you know
of justly
I'm not content with the
blameworthy
that
before
family.
God
I'm
because
not
you're not
with
doing
the trials
right. That's the
that
idea.
I went through, the hardships, the relationships.
So make sure,
can
number
I tell
one,
you, there's a
that you're living right with
God. God allows you to go through that situation.
Secondly, he says, be living right with others. He says, you want to be found of Jesus in peace. And when he comes and when he rolls in this final period of human history upon the earth, you want to make sure you're in a right
but
position with other people.
And
I mean, when the Lord Jesus
God,
blows the trumpet
you know
for the rapture
not,
and you are caught up
morning,
instantaneously into the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, you're not going to have time then to go
the
to that family member
you know,
or that brother or sister in Christ that you offended or that you sinned against and get things right then. You're not going to be able to do that on the way up into the clouds.
You know, this is hard to
it's
do.
It's not going
to
be
the
time then. You know, Lord,
there,
could you hold
like
that trumpet for a few minutes so I can go get right
lifestyle.
With somebody so I don't have
let
to come
your
into your presence with,
covetousness.
You know, knowing
you know,
full
we know
well that you know that I've
hey,
done
don't look at things
wrong
and say, hey, I want that. I desire
else.
That. And
you know,
I need that in my
James,
life.
James
no,
tells us that
says,
we are
let
to
your lifestyle
not grudge
be without covetousness
against
and
one
be content
another
with such things
the judge
as you have.
Is at the door.
How do I do that in this world?
That means don't
that's
be
hard.
Fussing and fighting
well, the
and
end
feuding
of the verse says this,
and bickering and murmuring and complaining
thee.
And having issues thee. And holding that's grudges and offenses
I will never leave thee
with other believers because
forsake thee. You know,
the Lord
I
Jesus
can't do it on my own.
Just
okay, someone
about
said,
to
I was telling our teenagers this morning, someone said, well, God does not give you
and you don't want
them
to come walking
well,
through that door.
God
and
gives
finds
us more
you
than we can handle,
right
so we come
people.
To Him.
So you want
to
be living right
He gives
right
us more
others.
Than we can handle. He says, hey, you know,
and
you
then
can't
the third
handle,
thing that we should
what?
Be doing,
I
if we're looking for
me.
That new heaven and earth, we
and
really
when
believe
it comes to this contentment,
that Jesus
I feel
is coming
years
soon,
of my life,
and that it's
right
going to roll out this last
again,
period of human history
say, you know
that
what?
Ends with the destruction of the present creation, then we should be also winning souls.
To be, hey, it's all about
He says, account that the long suffering of the Lord is salvation.
I'm not doing it this week.
Okay, so the word account means regard it to be so. It means reckon it to be so. So we should be regarding and reckoning up each day that God gives us. It's another great day to tell somebody about how they could escape the judgment of God in wrath to come.
I mean, Job lost
so we should
everything,
be conscious
said, you know
about
what?
That.
God is still good.
Who can I share the gospel with today?
God.
Who can
I
give a tract to today?
He will help me.
Who could I
get me through?
Share the good news with?
It's a hard thing to
folks, it's impossible to study the truths of the chapter that we're in here tonight, especially where we're about to go in this passage. It's impossible to really study these truths and really let them sink in without being impacted by the urgency and the priority of telling other people about Christ.
Contentment is
I mean,
learned.
It's not an optional exercise.
Contentment is learned, okay? It doesn't just happen
overnight.
We
need to
wake up
we
and just
be
a contented person.
The master's business while we may.
It's learned as a believer. You say, well, what if
we really believe
you're in another country and
true.
You hardly had anything?
Because
can I tell you, even those people
the
need
fire
to
of the Lord Jesus
contentment.
Is real.
Even they
and
have
finally
to
tonight, I want us
to
consider to that
content.
It is also a punishing fire.
Chapter 4 tells us in verse number 11.
It's a punishing fire, and we're going to read from verse 12 now to the end of the chapter. Follow along in your Bible as I read. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God.
For I have learned.
And the books were opened.
In whatsoever
and another
state
book
I
was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books,
you know what that means?
According to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works.
Then he says this.
And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire.
I speak in respect of one.
This is the second death.
Sorry, I know.
Whosoever
how
was
to
not
abased,
found written in the book of life
and I know how to
was
abound,
cast into
everywhere and in all
the lake
things.
Of fire.
I'm instructed both to be full.
So these verses
hungry,
describe what we call
both
the great
to abound
white throne
and to suffer
judgment.
Need. And then this
we've
the
already
verse
learned
that
one
so
on the throne
often,
is
but remember the context
God
here.
The Son, the Lord Jesus
okay?
Christ.
I learned
and as
content.
We see here in verse number 12, the people that will stand before Him to be judged on this occasion will be all the dead.
You know what that means?
Small
that means that you can learn
and great without exception. So it doesn't matter who you
Christ.
Are.
The truth about contentment.
It doesn't matter how little
this.
You are.
You
will not
you
be overlooked. You will not be able to escape
apart from
being noticed.
Deep,
it doesn't matter how big you are. You're not going to be able to escape either. You're not going to get
a
pass or a bye or some kind
Christ.
Of easy out from
out here today,
judgment
friend,
day.
You may know Jesus. You may
the
be
small,
saved,
the great, all alike, all the dead.
The truth is this. Your relationship must be
before
real.
God
it must be deep. Why?
To be judged.
Because you know what? The world combats
us. But let's also notice who will
day.
Not be there.
You watch commercials.
Who will not
you
be
see
at
a commercial.
This
you see.
Well, the answer to that question
whatever,
is
ads out there.
All believers.
They're always saying you need this. You need
no
this.
Believers
have to fulfill your
will
life.
Be present
and in
at
order
this
to
judgment.
Combat that, you have to have a real
no saints of God.
And know what the word
why not?
Of God says about
the answer is because
even
the
Apostle
saints aren't
Paul,
dead
under house arrest in
okay.
Rome. You know,
you know
writing,
the Lord Jesus never talked
in
prison, about a believer
how to tell,
being
he said, you know what,
actually
times
dead.
In my life.
He always talked about
I'm about to die.
Sleeping,
I'm about to die right now.
Okay.
There are times in my
physical
life,
death
though,
only
is,
a is the sleep
in
of physical death. That's
and
the only kind
of
death
today
that a believer
can
experience.
What, I've been
but
there.
These people are
I struggle with that. The truth of contentment is that it's found
and,
only in the Lord.
All believers are alive because they've already been raised in the first resurrection. So at this point, no believer is even in the sleep of physical death. Every believer has already participated, as we read before back in verse 6, blessed and holy is he that hath part in that first resurrection on such the second death hath no power. They're not going to be at this judgment because they've already been raised to everlasting life and a new glorified body. So they are not the dead. They will not be there.
But they that will be rich.
The only people that will be
there and a snare and many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction.
Participants in this judgment
perdition.
Are the unredemed.
So say they that will be rich. They fall into temptation.
These are eternally
and
lost souls.
And many foolish and hurtful
died
lusts.
In their sins without
these,
Jesus
these people
Christ,
here are people that
Savior.
Want to be rich. Notice these
we
are
also
not
want to make sure we understand
people.
The sequence
says,
of events because the
they're
events are not presented
what?
Sequentially. So let's look back in our Bible. Let me explain a couple things. Okay, so first of all, look at verse
rich.
Number 13.
This morning,
the sea
saved,
gave
I'm
up the dead
Whoo.
Which were in it,
no,
and death and hell delivered up the
rich.
Dead which
but
were in
them. But they that will be rich.
Now that
fall into a
describes
temptation
something that is going to happen before the destruction of the present universe, which we read about in verse 11.
and perdition.
Okay,
you know,
so,
here,
so when this judgment begins, the first thing that's going
to
happen is
money,
the sea will give up
you.
The bodies
for
of
the
those
love
who
of
have
money
died at
is
sea.
The root of all evil. Hey, there's
and
no
then
sin.
Death,
people
which is talking
say,
about the grave,
there's no sin
death
say,
will give
hey,
up the bodies of those
that
who have
money.
Died on land.
I mean,
so there we're talking about
really
the two possible places where the dead bodies
of
lost people reside at this point. They're either in the ground or they're... They were buried
you know,
at sea.
This,
so the sea's going to give up the bodies of those who died at sea. Death, the grave, will give up bodies of those who died on land. And then it talks about hell. Hell, which is the word Hades,
so
that's talking about the present place
the
of torment, which is under somewhere underneath our feet. Okay, I personally believe it's in the center of the earth because the Bible talks about a bottomless pit. And that would literally be true in the center of the earth because every direction is up.
What's the thing you hated
bottom?
And they all said, it was, they just asked one
but hell
they all said
will give up
the
souls
time.
Of all these dead people.
Sued.
Okay, so their bodies come up
time,
out of the sea or the grave.
Got this money,
their souls
it,
come up out of hell.
Getting sued.
And their souls and are reunited with their bodies.
The person who's
and they are
going to
stand
this,
resurrected
with even own family
body and soul, okay?
And so money is a trap.
A human being, soul and body, okay? They're going to stand in that resurrected condition before God, for judgment. Judgment,
man,
according to their works. This is
that,
the second resurrection
that
the Bible describes. So the first resurrection is for believers, glorified body,
here,
everlasting life.
We,
the second resurrection is what Jesus called the resurrection to damnation. I want you to see what Jesus said about that back in John 5. He said, marvel not at this.
God
the hour is coming
exactly
in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. He says,
and
everybody in the grave
that.
At one point
yeah,
or another is going to hear the voice
these,
of the Son of God
schemes.
And shall
they,
come forth. They that have done
that
good unto the resurrection of life.
That.
That's the first
Ecclesiastes
resurrection.
5,
and they that have done evil unto the resurrection.
5:10.
Of
he that loveth
damnation.
Silver
so this
will
is the
not
second
be satisfied
resurrection.
With
this is the
silver.
Resurrection to damnation.
Hey, someone who loves
the
silver
of lost
and loves
souls,
the silver, I mean, they love it. Guess what?
Be,
they're not going to be satisfied with silver.
Hell,
can I just translate that for
bodies,
you?
They'll stand
it will
before
never
God in a resurrected
be enough.
For judgment.
It'll never be enough.
Now let's
you know,
go back to verse 12 where we see
these
more
these
details
here,
about this judgment.
Warren Buffett
okay?
And Bill
so
Gates
verse 12 says,
have been done
I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God.
Every one of them.
And the books were
say, hey,
open. So notice that there are some
money.
Books that are open.
What else do you want? I just want.
Now, what are these
money.
Books?
I mean,
well, these are books of
money.
Works.
It's never
as the last
you know,
part of the verse explains, it says
man,
the dead
fact,
were judged
lawyer,
out of those things which were written
a,
in the books
a friend of his, in a
according
younger,
to their works.
The
so these are books that
well
record the deeds
today, but he was,
of every single
he helped
person
this man out when he was young
in
and,
detail.
A new,
say, how do we know this
man,
detail?
And
because the Lord Jesus said, even
millions.
Every
fact,
idle
would make
word
5 million,
will be a matter
2 million
that
every
is reviewed
month,
on
every
judgment
month.
Day.
And
he
asked he
said
his
that
friend,
in Matthew chapter 12, verse 36.
Enough?
I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day.
Will not be satisfied with silver. Solomon, the wisest man.
That means every time
that you're not going to be satisfied with
that
money,
God's name was taken in vain.
Then he goes on in Ecclesiastes. He says,
every bit of juicy gossip,
abundance with
increase, every inconsiderate
again,
or hurtful
that's another
word,
way of saying it will not be
every
enough.
Off-color joke or innuendo.
They are increase that eat them.
That's all of it is going to be recorded,
have,
and all of it is going to be a matter of
be after,
judgment.
To eat it away. The more people are trying to take it away from
say, well, yeah, but
you.
I mean, I didn't really mean anything by what I said. But
here,
it doesn't really matter.
Beholding of them
he said, every idle word you still
so
will give
people,
an account.
Guess what? All you can do with the stuff you have is look at
no
it.
No wonder it takes so many
it's
books.
It's going to be gone. The trap of discontentment. Understand, it's a destructive choice that's going
so
there are going to
be a lot of
remember
books
the rich
there
young ruler?
That are books of works.
The
works,
rich young ruler didn't realize that day.
Records.
Didn't realize that the riches he had didn't mean anything.
Then I think there's another book that's
going to
be
Christ
there, which would be
Jesus
the book
Christ
of God's
said, "Set all
law,
that you have,
because that's
give
God's
it to the poor,
justice,
and then
okay?
Come follow me."
That will be the
can you
standard
you that's a,
by
that's
which
a,
people will
a
be
trap
judged.
Right there,
Romans 3:19 says,
"Pierce that man through
that we know that whatsoever things the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God." Talking about the law of God there, like
the
Ten Commandments. Okay, God has given us a moral law. He has framed for us a
hey,
moral code for
us,
this
we love money,
universe
we love our
that the,
we love
our Creator
things,
is a moral lawgiver.
Choice to love
he has said,
things,
"Thou shalt not
who gave us
do
those
some
things. I want you to see the deceptive.
And that is the standard by which the works of people will be measured.
Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings,
who can measure
up to that standard. And they fly away as the eagle toward heaven. You know, at the end of
life,
so the
book of the law will be there.
The money is gone.
God's standard of justice.
Yeah, it's been said many times.
And then also we need to understand the point of this accounting is not going to be to determine whether these people will be saved or not.
A hearse traveling with a U-Haul behind it.
That's already been determined.
Why? Because the person.
That's why they're at this judgment. If they were saved, they wouldn't even be at this judgment.
The Bible does say in Mark 8:36,
every person here is already condemned to eternal destruction.
What shall profit a man if he shall gain the whole world?
The Bible is very clear. We are not saved by our works, okay?
Soul.
So it's not like
that's somebody who's discontented,
do enough good works,
somebody who's got everything.
We're going to be
somebody,
that's,
I mean,
not
he's
what
a millionaire, billionaire. They've
my
got
friend,
all the money. Guess what?
You can't do enough soul. Good works to hey, but, make up for your sins.
Can I just tell you, church folks, it's not just a millionaire.
A lot of people think that. You know, they think, well, I got a big pile of sins over here on this side of the scale. I just got to put a bigger pile of good deeds over here on this side. And then when my good deeds outweigh my bad deeds, hopefully before I die, then, you know, the turns style to heaven
values.
Will open and I'll get to go through.
They've lost that love,
that's
that desire to focus on heavenly treasures.
All it takes is one sin over
and
here
the mind
on this
is now
side of the
on earthly treasures.
And all your good
again,
deeds
Paul says to Timothy, don't. It's a destructive choice.
Are as nothing.
And it's a very deceptive choice.
Okay, the Bible says if you offend in one point of God's law, you're guilty of all.
Give you satisfaction.
You don't have to commit every crime on the books in Franklin County to come under the justice system of Franklin County and to be a lawbreaker and to receive punishment, right?
Number three this morning.
You only have to break one.
Commitment.
Same is true in God's court of law.
11. He says, but thou, O man of God.
There's not going to be a single person there who
every one of us here this morning, this is what we want to be. Okay, you want to be a man or woman of God.
Actually, our offenses toward a holy God are multiple.
Love of money.
They're numerous.
And follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith.
So the purpose of the evaluation is not to determine whether these people are good enough for heaven or whether they're saved or lost.
And have professed a good profession. Before
the purpose
many
of this judgment is to
witnesses.
Determine each
Timothy,
person's just
riches,
punishment
if you've got
in
Christ.
The lake of fire.
Timothy, you've got a
works.
Reason. You've got the purpose to life. Don't
the
be sidetracked
those that were
by
greater
things,
sinners in
by
their
possessions,
lives on earth will
by money.
A greater
focus
in the lake of fire.
On what matters.
And presumably they'll be cast
Timothy.
Into some
I'll be
hotter
gone here
place.
Soon. I'll be dead. What are you going to do?
Not everybody will be punished
are you
the same.
For other
Jesus
people?
Talked about that.
Are you going to
you
live
know, that,
for pleasures?
Some
are you going to
be,
live
be
for
beaten
prosperity?
With few stripes and some with
or
many
are
stripes.
You going to live
there's
for
there
the
are degrees of punishment
of God's word. You know Timothy. You know Timothy's story.
And that's the purpose
Timothy
of this judgment.
Paul's example.
But let's go
Paul
on here. Let's also notice verse 12 says
verse
that another book was opened. It says another book was opened.
He says,
which is the book of life.
The word charge there is very
so
interesting.
So evidently at this
if
judgment,
ordination council, there's
one
a man
last
after
piece of evidence will be consulted. God will also bring into the official
up,
record
says, hey, get out there and
of
go
his
get
court,
him. I'm going to give you some final
the
words.
The contents of another
if
book.
If you have a graduation, a Christian school, high school graduation,
this is
the
Lamb's
preacher normally will
book
get up
life,
and give a charge
which
to the
is
seniors.
The role
say,
book
go
of
out
the
and get him. Live for God.
Every
this is what he's doing to Timothy. He's starting to say, I got a charge. I got some very important words.
Saved individual
and I want you to see how you can be
who is saved by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.
How you can win the battle
has
each
his
day
her name
for discontentment. And he
in
gives
that book.
Four different ways, okay? Of those that are rich.
Again,
those that are rich.
Not
by the
one
way,
name
every one
of
us of
one person at this judgment will
so
be
so those
found
that are rich, he says, charge
that
them that are rich. Okay, we're rich. In this world.
But still,
okay,
God is
all,
a God of perfect
that they
justice.
Be not high-minded.
He'll present every last
okay?
piece
it's not your
of
stuff.
Relevant evidence,
this. It's
and he'll consult this book,
that's making
last
you
of all,
happy.
Before
he said, God forbid, the idea is, God forbid that your stuff is what's making you happy. If all of our stuff were gone, if
so
everything
now let's look
were wiped
at verses 14
out,
and 15.
Your cars, your house in a day, guess
it
what?
Says, in death and hell,
you're not trusting
we're cast
in your riches.
Into the lake of fire.
You're not high-minded.
This is the second
you're not saying,
death.
Well, I got this. I'm safe.
So death
if
and hell, is that? Death is the bodies
became nothing,
of the
you know,
condemned?
Overnight.
And
your Social
hell
Security
are the souls
in this country
of the
were
condemned.
Gone.
So what
you're
this is saying
you.
Is that lost
says,
sinners will be cast body and soul
that.
Into
again, he continues
the lake
his thought
fire.
With the second thought
look
here.
Look at verse 15.
Don't trust
whosoever, that's each individual person, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life.
No, he's not saying here, don't be wise financially.
Into
he's not saying, hey, don't try to
fire.
Set up finances here and take
that
care. No, we want to talk about good biblical
the
stewardship.
The second death.
But he's saying, don't trust
why is it
in
called
riches.
The second death?
You may set everything up.
Well, because it
you
happens
may make
after
everything look good
death.
For your kids, and guess what?
The first death
it
is
could be
physical
gone just
death.
Like that. Don't trust in those riches.
The second
don't trust
death
in the ability that you have
is
financially
total,
and the
final
stocks that you have.
Death.
Don't trust in why? Because
it
they're
is eternal separation from God.
Riches. That's how you can stay content.
Forever.
You know why? How you come eternal, discontent real fast? God takes something you thought was yours. You thought it was yours
hell.
Already. You know, most
that
of us here, we have this mindset here.
Punishing.
We say, God, you are
of Jesus.
You're the owner, right? You're the owner on the steward.
These are hard truths.
Here's an illustration here this morning. As we finish up,
these are
a dollar bill here. Dollar
horrific
bill.
Horrific things to think about.
This is what we do.
The
say,
just
God, guess what? I'm the steward.
Of Jesus.
I'm the steward,
upon
God.
Upon sin.
And we have it in our hands. Say, God,
sinners.
I'm willing. Okay, I'm willing to use it. This is your money.
But as
this is
I
your house.
Finish up this message,
these
tonight,
are your kids.
I'd like to share with
this
you.
This is your car. These are your finances.
Would you like
and
to
we
hear the
pray
news?
That way. But over time,
this,
okay,
this,
each one of us
what we talked
this,
about tonight was
over
the
time
bad
with,
news,
with
okay,
whatever
the bad
it is
news
in our life that we love the most.
Is something that we have to understand before the good news makes sense.
You're the owner. You're the owner. To where we,
so the bad news is,
slowly, right?
We all have a problem. It's called sin.
And become, say,
all actually, have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Yeah, actually, I'm the one that.
The even worse news is
that
because we've
sin,
all
the
got the problem of sin, we all deserve
the
penalty of sin.
I put the sweat.
We all deserve
the time. And most of us here today, we wouldn't
the
be,
second death.
We wouldn't be so wicked as to say, hey, that's how we feel.
In fact, let's just take a moment. Look at chapter 21, verse 8. Look at this description. It says, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters
says,
and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire
in,
and brimstone,
verse 17,
which is the second
only
death.
Trust in the living God.
Say, well, I don't think
17,
I've done some of those, like maybe
God,
sorcery or something.
Who giveth us
about,
richly all things
liars.
To enjoy. He says, hey, I want you to understand, God wants you
what
to,
member of the
to,
human
to
race would fit in the
life.
Category
okay, he doesn't
of
want you
a
be
liar.
Miserable. He wants you to enjoy life. But trust in
every
God.
Every single one of us.
James 1:17, every good gift
every single
coming
person
down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness in your shadow of turning. And
you
number four this
never
morning,
lied and that's
God
a lie
wants
right
you to
there.
Be rich in good works. Look at verse number 18.
Don't
miss
don't
out on
teach
this.
Teach kids
he's
how to lie. In fact, the Bible says
that they
that
do good
in our sin,
that do,
sinful
that they do good,
bent,
that they be rich.
We go astray as soon as we are born, speaking
works.
Lies. We come out liars.
Doing good
from
works.
The womb.
He says, hey, you can be rich. In doing good works, Timothy.
So
you can be banking.
That's
for
the
heaven.
Bad news.
You can be laying
the
up treasures in heaven, where moth and rust
do friend,
not,
you don't have to experience
corrupt,
this
or thieves do not break through and steal. You can understand that your treasure.
You don't have to be there.
Where your heart
you
is, there is your treasure.
The
also, understand that truth here, Timothy. You have to live for.
You don't have to
eternity.
Experience the devouring,
if I were to
everlasting,
morning,
punishing
who,
fire
who
of
the
Jesus
richest
for even a single
in church
millisecond.
If immediately
you don't have
your
to
mind
go anywhere
to, well,
near
this
that
person
place.
Has a, probably a bigger bank account.
The lake of
this
fire.
This person probably has
because you have an opportunity
more money. This person has more
right
nice
now,
cars.
To be
can I just tell you that you're missing the mindset?
And I know
of
that
God.
Most here tonight.
The richest
are
person in church.
But there may be some here tonight that are not
up
saved.
Treasures in heaven. The person who's banking
and
for
if that is the case,
eternity.
If you're here tonight and you don't have Christ as your personal
you
Savior from sin and hell, then as I, we just read a moment ago in the book of 2 Peter,
on earth,
chapter 3,
items.
I want to urge you to bank
need
upon
need
the long-suffering, the fact that the long-suffering
you know
of the Lord means salvation for you, my friend.
Life of discontentment. I'm
okay, then why is the Lord Jesus being long-suffering? Why isn't he bringing this wicked world to an end? Okay, one day he is.
Is.
But the reason right now that he is
that
suffering long with
me,
the wickedness of sinners upon this earth
what?
That he made
God
is because
exactly
he
need.
Wants people to be saved.
Exactly what I don't need. What a great time.
He's giving you, my friend, a chance to be saved right now,
to talk about
today.
This battle of discontentment. You know, this ought to be a prayer
and he wants
yours,
you to be saved
in your
today.
Heart this next coming
going back to
2
Peter
coming up during the holiday
chapter 3, verse 9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises. Some men count
slackness,
but he is long-suffering.
I'm like, yes,
to
thank you so much. Appreciate that verse.
Not willing that any should perish.
But I can't tell you how many times after she spoke to me and gave me this verse, I thought, you know what? This is such a wonderful truth.
So yes, God
Proverbs 38,
is
30 verse
a
8
God
says,
of
remove
great
from me
justice,
vanity and lies.
Holiness and consuming
give me
wrath
neither poverty
upon guilty sinners.
Nor riches.
But
feed me with
the
food,
Lord Jesus
convenient
is also a God
with me.
Of great
shouldn't that be the prayer of every Christian?
And mercy.
Hey, don't make me too rich where I curse you, Lord.
And that's
don't get me too rich where I don't depend
we
on
have
you.
Christmas.
But don't give me too poor, Lord. I'm struggling. I'm trusting that. You know, you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Because the Lord Jesus knows everything about what we've already studied tonight. Isn't that
what God promised He'd do? He promised He would meet all of our needs.
People like you and me to have to go to a place called the lake of fire.
Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God.
You know when the Lord Jesus went around preaching, what did He go around preaching? He went around preaching, repent!
Shall be added unto you.
Believe the gospel.
Are you content
with the things that God has given you? Be saved while you have the opportunity.
That He hasn't. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much.
He warned people faithfully, except you repent.
And Lord, I'm so thankful today.
He shall all likewise perish.
Wonderful God who cares about us, who loves us.
He talked more about hell than he talked about
the many blessings you've given me and my family. And Lord,
because
the things that we have not had that maybe we felt like we should have. Lord, I'm thankful for those things we haven't
gotten.
Because Lord, we want to just
trust in you. Proved His love for you, my friend, by dying upon the cross in your place.
This holiday season, Father, this Christmas
He suffered the wrath of God upon your sins in your place.
And Lord, I pray
now, my friend, if you were to suffer the wrath of God upon your sins, that would be just. That would be what you deserve. Jesus did not deserve to taste the cup of God's wrath against your sins.
And what is best for their life.
Because He didn't do those sins.
And Lord, I pray you'd help us to be a church.
And yet He drank that cup of wrath against your sins.
Help us to bank spiritually in heaven, Father.
To the very last drop.
And do good deeds and help other folks, Lord.
God made His Son the object of His holy wrath against our sins.
No look around this morning. We're going to sing a song here.
So that God might justly pardon us and give us everlasting life. The Bible says in Romans 5:8, God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He showed us His love. He proved it. He demonstrated it. He recommends it to us now. He says, look over here. See my Son. See what He did for you upon the cross. That is my love. And I recommend it to you. While we were yet sinners. Not because we were something good in God's sight. Not because we deserved it. Not because of any inherent goodness or worthiness on our part. Simply because God chose to love us that much. God gave His Son in love. And Jesus, the Son, for His part, in love, freely, of His own will, went to that cross of Calvary. Submitted to the will of the Father, and voluntarily made Himself the sacrifice for our sins. That's love. 1 Peter 3:18 says, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. Who are the unjust? That's us, okay? Those who had sinned. Who is the just? The just one, that is Jesus. He's the righteous one. He's the sinless one. He never committed a single sin. And yet the just one died in the place of the unjust ones. He suffered for our sins because He wanted to bring us to God. He wanted to make a way for us to heaven. That's why He's the one and only way. The Bible says in John 3:18, read this verse earlier, well, another verse from John 5, similar verse earlier, but John 3:18 says, he that believeth on Him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. My friend, if you're here tonight and you have not believed personally in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior from sin and hell, as I said before, you don't have to, you know, it's not like you have to get to judgment day before you're condemned. The Bible says you're already condemned. Judgment day is just to give you your due process, your day in court. And to reveal the evidence that you are worthy of condemnation and determine your final punishment in the place of punishment in the lake of fire. But my friend, if you have not believed in Jesus Christ, you're already condemned. Right this moment, you're under God's condemnation and just wrath. But notice that first part of the verse again. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. My friend, if you have received Christ as your Savior, you are no longer under condemnation. You no longer stand in that place of deserving of the wrath of God, because what Jesus did for you has been applied to your sin account with God. The Bible says that our sins, the record of the ordinances against us, all of that long laundry list of our infractions and law breaking against God's righteous standard, all of that has been blotted out, and it has been taken out of the way, and it's been nailed to the cross of Jesus, and it can never be used in the court of justice against you, because Jesus paid it all. So if you believe on Him, you're not condemned. And finally, Romans 10:11, and I love this verse. The Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. That verse isn't talking about being somewhat embarrassed by something. That shame that's described there is eternal shame in the lake of fire. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will never suffer the shame of eternal judgment and God's wrath in eternal hell. The good news of the gospel, my friend, is that yes, we have a problem of sin, and yes, we deserve the penalty for sin, but Jesus made a payment for sin. He took all the shame upon Himself. He took all the condemnation. He took all the guilt. He took all of God's wrath. He took all of the pain and the suffering for your sins in your place. He died the death that you deserve to die. And then He was buried, and He rose again the third day, and He is alive today, and He is offering to people today the free gift of everlasting life. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The gift of eternal life is the best and most important Christmas present ever. It's the gift that Christmas is all about. The gift of eternal life is really the gift of Christ Himself. When you receive Him, He comes to live within, and He brings with Him everlasting life. He is the Lord of life, living in you by faith. He also, along with that gift, gives you the gift of perfect righteousness so you can be qualified for heaven. He gives you the gift of His sweet Holy Spirit to comfort you and to teach you day by day. He gives you the gift of a new life and a new fresh start in Christ. He gives you the gift of an eternal inheritance with Christ forever. True riches that can never fade away, that will never melt down in the melting fire of Jesus. Folks, all of these things are all by His grace. They're all a free gift. But all these gifts that Jesus has available have to be received now in this life. You have to make that personal transaction with Jesus Christ now in this life. It's too late after you die to come to Jesus. And that's why the Bible says, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Nothing in this world is worth missing heaven for. Nothing in this world is worth going to the flames of the lake of fire for. My friend, your sin is not worth it. It'll cost you more than you want to pay. So Jesus offers to receive you today in love. So just come to Him, just as you are, understanding that you are needing to be cleansed, forgiven, justified, that you need to be saved. Come to Him, and He will meet all those needs for you. He'll pardon your sins, wash them away in His blood. He'll give you that free gift of everlasting life. He will declare you to be righteous, justified, just as if you had never sinned. He will save you from your sins and from eternal hell. And He will make you accepted in the Beloved, accepted in Him forever. So the testimony of Jesus is that He is a great judge over all the earth. And He is a consuming fire of holiness. But He is also the loving Lamb of God who has a heart for people like you and me and died to save us from our sins. So my friend, if you're here tonight and you're not saved yet, the invitation for you is to come to Jesus. You can have that personal faith transaction with God tonight. Okay? The Lord Jesus says, come. He says, whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. The invitation is from the Lord Jesus himself. He's putting it right out there. He says, the water of everlasting life is right here, and you can drink it, my friend, if you want it. If you want it, just come and take it. That's the invitation for those who are here tonight without Christ, and then for believers here tonight. There's some things that I think we need to take away from this study as well. And first of all, I trust tonight that you're thankful for your great Savior. You know, we've just gone through this Thanksgiving season, and we're thankful for a lot of things. And I think sometimes we just get kind of the wrong mindset, okay? And we think, oh, I'm so thankful for my family, and I'm thankful for my home, and I'm thankful for my job, and oh yeah, I'm thankful for my salvation too. My friend, as we have read tonight, your salvation is a priceless gift. And in the scope of eternity, it is worth far, far more than any other blessing that you could ever receive from the hand of God. My friend, if the only thing you ever get from God is eternal salvation, then you have what you need. You have everything because you have Jesus Christ. So we should be thankful as believers tonight that we have a great Savior, that we don't have to worry when we put our heads on our pillows tonight about the flames of everlasting hell. Because we're saved. We're saved from that horrible place. But let's also remember as believers that our day before Christ is also coming. We also will stand before the Lord one day. Not at the great white throne. At an earlier point in time, we'll stand before Him at the Bema seat or the judgment seat. We won't be in any danger of hellfire. Yet still, that's going to be a sobering meeting when you will stand before the Lord face to face and you will give an account of yourself to God. We should be prepared for that meeting. So tonight as we prepare to distribute the elements of the Lord's Supper, I want to ask you a few questions based upon what we talked about tonight. First of all, are you living right with God? Are you right with God tonight? If you're not, that's something that you should do business with God about right in this service before we distribute these elements, before you receive the bread and the cup, which are the symbols of the broken body and the shed blood of the Lord Jesus. You should get right with the Lord. Confess your sin. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's why we take some time for personal self-examination, as the Bible says to do, so that we can make sure that we're right with God. You living right with God tonight as a believer. Secondly, are you living right with others? Are you right with other people? Or do you have offenses that have not yet been properly resolved with brothers and sisters in Christ? Maybe people in your family? If so, you should get that resolved without delay. Maybe during that time of self-examination, it's quiet in this room, no one's looking around. Maybe you should take a moment just to go to that person and whisper in that person's ear that you're sorry and ask for forgiveness for how you treated them wrongly. You need to be right with others. And then, are we winning souls? You think about what we have learned tonight. How can we not share Christ with other people? Those people that you rub shoulders with on a daily basis, maybe you just encounter them here or there, and You know, there's times when I forget to carry tracts with me and I don't have a tract when I should have a tract. And you don't ever allow yourself to slip into that mindset. It doesn't really matter if I make the effort to tell this person about eternal salvation. If you believe the verses that we read tonight in the Bible, you should have a compulsion, a holy burning within your soul that you have to tell people about Christ. There is no other possible logical response to what we studied tonight. So let's purpose in this next week, in this next month, this Christmas season, that as God gives us opportunities, we take those opportunities and we start telling people about the Lord. Because the long-suffering of the Lord is salvation. That means this is the time. Now is the time for people to be saved. One day those people, if they die in their sins, they really will stand at the great white throne to be judged. Would you bow your heads with me, please, tonight?